Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. Mothers?
Na
kashchin miryate tavat. Yahadasta ihantakah. Itadartam hi bhagavan. Ahuta paramarshivi. Aho niloke pietha.
Hari lilam ritam
vacha. Na kashchin miryate tavat. Yahadasta ihantakah. Itadartam hi bhagavan. Ahuta paramarshibi. Aho niloke pieta. Hari lilam ritam vacha.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is the representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Purport. Every human being dislikes meeting death, but he does not know how to get rid of death. The surest remedy for avoiding death is to accustom oneself to hearing the nectarian pastimes of the Lord, as they are systematically narrated in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is advised here and therefore that any human being who desires freedom from death should take to this course of life as recommended by the rishis headed by Shaunaka. And we'll do text 9. Mandasya manda pragnasya vayo manda yushashtravai nidraya riyate naktam Diva cha varta karma bi. Translation. Lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and a short duration of life pass the night sleeping and the day performing activities that are for naught. Purport. The less intelligent who do not know the real value of human form of life. The human form is a special gift of material nature in the course of or enforcing stringent laws of miseries upon the living being. It is a chance to achieve the highest boon of life, namely to get out of the entanglement of repeated birth and death. The intelligent take care of this important gift by strenuously endeavor to get out of the entanglement, but the less intelligent are lazy and unable to evaluate the gift of the human body to achieve liberation from the material bondage. They become more interested in so-called economic development and work very hard throughout life simply for sense enjoyment of the temporary body. Sense enjoyment is also allowed to the lower animals by the law of nature, and thus a human being is also destined to a certain amount of sense enjoyment according to his past or present life. But one should definitely try to understand that sense enjoyment is not the ultimate goal of human life. Herein it is said that during the daytime one works for nothing, because the aim is nothing but sense enjoyment. We can particularly observe how the human being is engaged for nothing in the cities and industrial towns. There are so many things manufactured with human energy, but they are all meant for sense enjoyment and not for getting out of material bondage. And after working hard during the daytime, a tired man either sleeps or engages in sex habits at night. This is the program of the materialistic civilized life for the less intelligent. Therefore, they are designed herein as lazy, unfortunate, and short-lived. Om Agyanatir Manasya Gyaninjana Shalakaya Saksham Tamyena Tasmai Sri Gurubhena Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Mayakaran Dayari Swaparantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirdaita Garada Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is an interesting topic here with Yamaraj and Dip. Just recently I've experienced a few death in the family and friends. My nephew died a few months ago, then my brother-in-law dies a few days ago, and my good friend died a few weeks ago. And then now another friend is about to die. You know, so this is a reminder of this material world. So Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, has an important task, and that is to kill everyone, put everyone to die. That's Yamaraj's work. And he does that with his assistant and Jar and Olij. Olij helps him, disease helps him, and his assistants. And he has some nice assistants, if you know. Anyone knows what the assistants look like? Are they handsome or the opposite? Yeah, they're very scary, the Yamadutas. Actually, when one sees the Yamadutas, it's just some passes stool and urine right away. So Yamaraj's task, he's not particularly killing them. He's just observing their karma and give them what they're destined to have. Reward and punishment. So, when a living entity is about to die, whatever the cause, sickness or whatever, then he sends his Yamadutas to them. And then they come and they have a lasso, a subtle lasso, and they wrap the soul with it. So they throw that lasso and grab the soul and yank it out of the body. So the pain is so excruciating, like being bitten by 1,000 scorpions. And then the Yamadutas yank the soul along with the subtle body to Yamaloka, where the soul is tried. And then it is, for the bad karma it's sent to hell, and for the good karma it's sent to heaven. And after that, it's sent back to earth to try back for devotional again, devotional service. That's how they condition living entities. Are being supervised by Yama. So Bhagavatam is saying here that Yama has taken a vacation. He's on earth. And since he's on earth, you will not die. So take advantage. Take advantage and listen to the deathless kata of the Supreme Lord, Lilamritam, the nectar of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Take advantage of this. Because Yamaraj is on vacation. Well, we know it was not on vacation. It's stated that Srimad Bhagavatam says that he was invited by the great sages. But also we also know that he was coerced by Mandakya Muni. Yeah, if you know that story. And then he was sent to. But whatever the reason, whatever the secondary reason, the fundamental reason is that when the Lord comes to enact pastimes on earth, every day of Brahma, then he comes with his entourage, his confidential associates within the spiritual world, and also some of the demigods come to help him here. Some of the demigods, because they're his cooperative representative. The demigods are, they have very important role within this material world, to assist the Lord of the burden of governing. And so when he comes, some of his associates come. So Yamaraj was one, he came and as Vidura, and he played a very important role in the past sense of the Lord. We know that he assisted the Pandavas greatly, Vidura. And he was a plain and straightforward speaker. And he would always advise Dhritarashtra and his sons to do the right thing, even though they never listened. But he played a very important role in assisting the Lord in his pastimes here, and assisting the Pandavas from the atrocities placed on them by the Kauravas, especially Duryodhana. We know when he had plotted to kill the Pandavas in the house of Shalak. That house was made of wax. Then Vidura was like, he was actually like a spy for the Pandavas, because he overheard somehow that conversation. And he sent messenger to the Pandavas and explained what's going on in a subtle way. You know, he was not speaking direct language. I think he said the messenger was speaking in the language of the woodsman and explained what was taking place. You know, this house, look at it carefully how it's built. All flammable material, which means it is meant for death. You know, this house is meant to kill. Everything is flammable. It's made with wax and ghee and everything. And so, be careful. And everything, it was in codes. He sent message in codes. And so even Purushan, that was the culprit, even he would be burnt also. And it happened at that very night that they were to set fire, a Sudrani with her five sons came there. You see, and then the Pandava escaped through the tunnel, because they were making a tunnel, and they escaped, and then they burnt the house with wax, killing Purushan and the Sudrani with her kids. They were all drunk. So Vidura played very important roles in helping the Pandavas. Even when Draupadi was disrobed, he would help her also. He would protest, why nobody said anything, why are you doing this sinful act? He stood up there, and many, many other times he would speak the truth. One point that Duryodhana actually, well, that was the time he actually kicked him out the palace. And he went on pilgrimage and he met Maitri, and we know the rest. So what is interesting here is that Bhagavatam is saying that Yamaraj is here, so no one will die. So take advantage of that this opportunity and listen to this transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Then the next verse goes on to say that men, lazy human beings with paltry intelligence and short duration of life, pass the night sleeping and the day performing activities that are for naught. Just like that verse, Prayena Palishaha Sabya, Kalau Asme Gyana, Manda Samanda Mata, Manda Bhagi Hi Upaduta. See, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives, lazy, quarrelsome, misguided, always disturbed. Similar. So this is Kali Yuga. And we only have seen a speck of it. Kali Yuga. Sometimes we can say a transitional period. The way time works, we're still in the transitional period, but yet we can see the effects of Kali Yuga already. See, we can see the ill effects of Kali Yuga. When Parikshit, and this verse is speaking about Parikshit, when Parikshit was on earth, no one could kill the cow. And now, every country are slaughtering the cow mercilessly. Look the difference from 1 to 5,000 years. Look the difference on degradation. Kali had just hurt the bull and Maharaj Parikshit was ready to slaughter him. Parikshit was serious. He was going to cut him up to pieces. You see? And that was just the other day. And now, every nook and corner of the earth, the people are mercilessly slaughtering the cow. Actually, when I write about cow slaughtering, you know, you get questions like, what is wrong with that? You know, is that bad? It's just an animal. You know, like, so you could see the degradation of this society already. And so imagine 100,000 years to come, what would happen? Or imagine 200,000 years or 300,000 years. And what would happen 400,000 years? Imagine the degradation. You don't want to wait and see. Men would actually be eating one another. See? So degraded the age is coming. Look at the technological advancement already. Look what we have. What Srila Prabhupada says, all for nothing, for sense, they're all for sense gratification. Most of it. Of course, for the devotees, we can utilize, like the mic we utilize to speak and broadcast over the internet or whatever, the computer. In other words, we use all technology for Krishna service. But for the materialists, everything is for sense gratification. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is protesting. One machine, like the tractor, takes the work of 100 or 200 men or 1,000 men. One machine. You see? So, uncivilized society, everything is heading towards sense gratification and heading towards hellish life. Everything. Abortion. 5,000 years, that was not heard of. Now every country, every corner. Intoxicants, maybe some wine and stuff were allowed, but it was all regulated. Now, all kind of drugs. What's the latest? Molly. They say Molly. Molly is a high-tech drug now. You know, people get drugged out and they're happy, and they don't create disturbance, I guess. So all this degradation has taken place just within 5,000 years, and then gambling, so much casinos and brothels and everything that's taken place. So Srila Prabhupada misguided civilization, a misguided and unfortunate civilization. Everything is for nothing, because everything is done for sense gratification. In the day they work for sense gratification, and at night they also take sense gratification. Sleeping also is a form of sense gratification. And then, if not sleeping, illicit sex. So the day sense gratification, the night sense gratification. So and the whole society is heading towards the hellish planet. Well, of course, except for the devotees. So this is what Bhagavatam is saying now. That intelligent men should listen to Harikatam. Harikata. What Bhagavatam say? Apana samshutin ghoram yannama vivash vivasho grinan tata sadyo vimuchyata yad bibeti swayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhaktir adokshaji ahaituki apratihata ye atma supasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to love and devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Jnanayati Astu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahai Tukam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Dharmaha sanushtitaha pumsam vishvakshena karashuya notpadya yad yati ratim shrama evahi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So this conforms with the verse and the purport that Srila Prabhupada is saying. Everything, all the labor is useless labor if it's not attracting the personality of Godhead. Look at our technology today. We're heading for Mars. You know that, right? They're already planning, they have big plans, they're all already practicing. The journey would take maybe within a year and a half to 2 years of full speed, at the speed of sun. You'll be 2 years in the rocket. You're sitting 2 years in the rocket traveling at mind-boggling speed to go to Mars. What are you going to Mars? See if they could create another society there, explore the environment, try to see if they could find some life. I mean, they've been searching for life already, but you see, wasting trillions and trillions of taxpayer dollars for a useless endeavor. And not only that, you don't know if the spacecraft would arrive there. You know, you don't know if the thing. So the Department of Science, a branch of science, is misleading the world so badly that we have a great percentage of the people are actually atheists now. A great percentage are atheists, and a lot of them are half atheists. All the students are in college now are convinced that life came through evolution or whatever, a biogenesis and primordial soup, these are theories, but the origin of species is through evolution. They are totally convinced of that. So this is a godless origin. So science is really misleading the world in this field. And then the theory, the Big Bang theory of the origin of the universe. There was one concise speck of matter and heated tremendously and it exploded and everything came into being. And all these unfortunate students in college, they accept these things. The whole world. I mean, I'm writing constantly online, really, and I know, I'm answering questions and everything. All the time, they come with so much doubt, this question and that, everything. So much misleading theories, but I hammer them like anything. I'm not afraid, because I know that's not it. I mean, there's no doubt that changes are taking place in all the species. They are changing. But the changes is not towards evolution. All species are devolving day by day. You see, because it's explained, even in the same forest, where men are become short-lived, but they are also becoming short in stature. As we are becoming short-lived, our age is dwindling, our height is also dwindling. In Satyug, men were very tall. Shiva explaining to Parvati said that in Satyug, men were 21 cubits. You know what's 21 cubits? In Treta Yuga, there were 14 cubits. In Dwarpa Yuga, 7 cubits. In Kali Yuga, 3.5 cubits. You see? And even in Kali Yuga, Sri Bhagavatam says, they're dwindling. A cow would look like a goat, or maybe even smaller. A big tree would look like a plant. We would be midgets, maybe like this, like this. So, 400,000 years, like this. By 15 years, you're old. You're totally gray and bald. See about this. People get married around 8 and 10. All these have been predicted, and all these will come to pass. This is it. So all the changes that are taking place in the species is not through evolution, but it's devolution. But the scientists completely misread the symptoms and trying to propagate their godless agenda. And now we have nothing but a bunch of atheists in the world creating havoc. No discrimination, nothing. The food all contaminated. Everything, you know, almost all the products, you have beef and this and that, pork and everything mixed together. And all the vitamins and everything. You know, no discrimination. What is sattvic and what is rajastic, tamasic and so forth. Everything is topsy-turvy. And we're only 5,000 years in the go. 5,000 years. Imagine 100,000 years or 200,000 years. I mean, even friends and relatives now, I mean, you speak to them, you see so much pride and so much envy, you can sense it, are coming up. Imagine what would happen later on. So imagine the degradation. I mean, we can barely conceive of the degradation of what to come. See? We can barely. So our mission is to remind the world of the purpose of life. Our mission is to remind the world. Every one of us here has a mission. You can see mission impossible in one sense, but it's possible through the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And all of us should take upon ourselves the burden of trying to preach in whatever way we can, through book distribution, through chanting, through Harinam, through prasadam distribution, whatever means, but we should all take up this task of at least helping the unfortunate living entities in this world. Because this whole world is heading towards Yamaloka. And Yama is back in his job now. He's not on earth anymore. He's back in his job. And he has a great task of sending everyone to the hellish planet. Because most of the karma is or most of the karma we are incurring, or people, the regular man out there is incurring is bad karma. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. If you're not a devotee, you're engaging. And if, like, you have some sub-devotees, like other religions and so forth, they are fully engaged in some of these activities also. And they cannot make a difference. You know, they don't, like the Christians, you know, I would speak to them, talk to them. What's so bad about eating meat? The Bible says you could eat all these different food. See? So can we imagine what is going on and what the task that Yamaraj would have? Because everything one does is recorded on his subtle body. Everything. So no one can escape it. That's the karma. Yamaraj reads that karma, and then Yamaraj awards. So our business is to remind the world that the purpose of human life, there are 8,400,000 species, but the purpose of this species, I mean, there are 400,000 human species, but whatever one they're in really, but all the human species, the purpose of them, once one has the human body, then he has to understand, he has the intelligence to understand the purpose of human life. And he's not spared of karma. All the animals are spared of karma, but not the humans. Whatever, ignorant or no ignorance, you're not spared of karma. And so, it means the purpose of human life is to go back to the spiritual world, to go back to Godhead. You see, after traversing the whole ocean of miseries, of birth, disease, old age, death, repeatedly in 8 million species, we have traversed so many species before we get this human body. And then we're going to squander it in sense gratification. So this is the purpose of human life. Not sense gratification, but self-realization and devotion to God, to Krishna. This is our purpose. And so we, that all of us devotees that at least know the ultimate purpose, we have a task. We have a task to help Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya in this mission, in spreading these teachings around the world. And there are so many ways. Each one of us should have a little plan how we should help to do that. You know, we run in service in the temple helping. But all of us should try to always contemplate within our head how we can have this mission. Every devotee from small to big, they should all be trained in this mission. How to assist the unfortunate living entities to get out of this miserable condition. So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here, take advantage. Take advantage of Leela Amritam. the nectar, the nectarian pastime of Lord Krishna. And this is the deathless, this is the deathless message. And this is the deathless, this is the cure for death, so to speak. See? So I would stop here, and if there's any question or comments,
let me say something.
Hey, this wasn't my idea. He gave me the mic. But yeah, the point's well taken. You know, Krishna consciousness is the thing. Everything else falls short. It's a tough age. The lower modes become more prominent in Kali Yuga. Yet this is the golden age of Kali Yuga. We all have access to chanting. And I didn't grow up in a village in Trinidad, but I grew up, there was no chanting, and now there's a lot of chanting. So some things do seem to be moving in a positive direction, which I'm very grateful for. But when I think about those scientists, the point's well taken that there's a lot of atheist propaganda being promoted, or has been promoted in the name of science. But I don't think all scientists are atheists, nor do I think everybody in the college campus is an atheist. You know, at least
that's
I haven't
true.
Seen that. And also, people who entertain Darwin's theory, they're not all atheists either. And Prabhupada made, you know, it wasn't like he essentialized it, like, you know, he made some conciliatory, he didn't really care about it. I mean, because ultimately it had nothing to do with these forms. And even if you imagine there was never a human form, you know, like as we experience it on Earth, I mean, there's unlimited universes full of human forms to accept the jiva on its transmigration. I'm not saying that's true, but it's not such an essential thing. You know, in the Western tradition is this idea that somehow human beings were here for a certain person to come and save, and that's the whole ball game. But, philosophically, there's a lot more sophistication from a Puranic perspective where, you know, what happened on Earth, whether it happened or not, isn't really essential to, you know, our core Siddhantic message. Again, not to say that Darwin had it right, but, Prabhupada could also say consolatory things about it. You know, we can engage it, we can not engage it. I think the critical point is when it is used for atheism, as you were pointing out.
And he, you know, Srila Prabhupada spoke about spiritual evolution, really, the species evolving spiritually, really. But, of course, Darwin's physical evolution, you know, it's a serious misinterpretation. I mean, the changes in the species and everything are, you know,
well, Prabhupada could say
heading towards the opposite. Instead of changing to new species, really, it's devolving into smaller species.
Well,
that's the purpose of the changes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I would totally agree.
You know, but of course, the point you're making is that not all scientists are atheists, and not all students will become atheists, and not all professors are not college. They're not really trying to promote atheism, really, but it's just because of the unfortunate theories they have. You know, that is leading towards that, really. But as devotees, you know, our business is to try to clarify these misconceptions.
Yeah.
Any other point?
Yeah, the points, that's true. Just to follow up on it, because I have this conversation here from Shyama Sundar and Prabhupada. You know, just as an example.
Yeah.
Am I okay?
That is here.
Yeah, and it's right in here, but at one point, Prabhupada criticized it severely as well, but just some of the, Prabhupada's dexterity here. You know, Shyama Sundar was pushing him, so evolution we accept, you know, on this thing, you know, because spiritual evolution is the important critical thing. You know, and Prabhupada said, yes, it's right here someplace, I'm having trouble finding it.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says, yes, theory of evolution we accept, and then Shyama Sundar, this is in the Shyama Sundar conversations. So theory of evolution we accept, from simple life forms, more complex forms evolve. And then Prabhupada says, yes, you know, theory of evolution we accept. So, he had some dexterity there. Yeah, there is a, particularly in the material world, everything has a beginning and an end, and, you know, things, you know, in the end, it's destroyed.
I mean, the Bhagavatam is, the Bhagavatam and the Puranas are specific about the origin of life and all the species.
Oh, of course,
from Kashyapa and his daughters came all the species and everything, and that's explained clearly. All right, next.
Yeah, no, that's true, but then how does it play out in time?
Sri Devi has a question, Nirdan Prana.
Thank you. I believe Darwin said that the biggest problem with my theory is that there's no fossil evidence of evolution. So, like, he admitted it himself. Like, well, that's the biggest fallacy with my theory of evolution. There's no evidence.
You call it a missing link. There's lots of links that are missing in that evolutionary chain that they can't answer for, you see? And so Darwin, of course, at that time, he knew, but even now also there's still a lot of a missing link. And they had a fragment of a skull of what they thought to be a woman in Africa, the first woman. What's her name again? Anybody could remember that? Lucy. Lucy, you know, but that's such a fallacy, really. You know what I mean? It's really.
And also, you're talking about how cow slaughter is happening all over the world, and I believe there are some areas in India now that are like pilgrimage sites and where cow slaughter is outlawed, correct?
Vrindavan. That's true. Actually, one time I told some people, like one time in India or in Nepal. I think even in Nepal, really, if one is caught killing a cow, they hang him or something, or you know, something like that. When people heard that, they're shocked, you know, because they're thinking. Yes, Prana Govinda.
We're talking two different things.
Yeah.
Darwin never spoke about conscious evolution.
Right.
But we are Hare Krishna's talking about conscious evolution.
Yeah.
So it's not a selection, okay. Mutation has really nothing to do. He doesn't even talk anything about conscious or soul or anything.
No.
So why we are spending and giving him so much credit?
Right. Yeah. True. That's right. Because it's useless. I mean, the whole biological evolution they're speaking about is all, you know. I mean, of course there are changes in all species. All species are changing. You can see in the genes, there are changes. But it's not meant to create a new species, but it's meant to create a smaller species. And so this change is misinterpreted by the scientists.
Yes.
You see?
Yeah. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
These seven personalities, that they will stay till end of Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
Parashuram, Ashwatthama,
yeah.
Hanumanji. Do they, they will just tolerate seeing the degradation, or is there any record that where they will take some action? Because I was listening Allen Ginsberg conversation with Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Prabhupada literally closed the chapter after 10,000, no more Hare Krishna chanting.
Right, of course.
And Prabhupada really, twice he mentioned on that discussion.
Somebody
is curious. I mean, they are great personalities.
I know that Shantanu brother, I think Devapi, he would come back at the end of Kali Yuga and he would be the new king, or he would be the new king for Satyuk something. But Parshuram and Vyasadeva and Hanuman and all these beings, they, as far as I know, maybe they're helping softly, really. I mean, whatever, you know, but I don't, you know, as far as I can say, I don't know if they're coming in any way, shape or form to help the degradation. But Kali would be so degradation, it's stated that all these libraries and everything, there'd be skull everywhere. Scientists would be having skulls analyzing, you know. But like you'd be everywhere you go, instead of temples and so they'd use temples, they'd be building all of them with skulls and things and remnants of skeletons and so. They're testing this, that, you know, all kind of craziness, you know. I mean, Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know what you're searching, they're looking for more evidence. Right, Steve?
Every scientific theory is based on a limited set of evidence, and they do change over time, and that's all well and good for them. But again, I'm just focusing on how Prabhupada handled these things. And I found this quote here, and it just kind of blew my mind when I read it. So Shyama Sundar was trying to, again, this is just, you know, he's engaging arguments and
ideas.
Here's the quote. So Prabhupada is saying, you know, they were talking about spiritual evolution and material evolution, because as Prabhupada says, they're kind of two different things. So Prabhupada's saying, theory of evolution we accept. And then Shyama Sundar is trying to clarify the point, because this is what, you know, so Shyama Sundar, from simple life forms, more complex forms evolve. Right? He's, you know, Shyama Sundar is trying to clarify, you know, because we're talking about spiritual evolution, Darwin's theory, material evolution, other theories. So theory of evolution we accept, Prabhupada's saying. And Shyama Sundar specifically clarifies, from simple forms of life, more complex forms evolve. And Prabhupada says, yes, that's all right. So, you know, again, I'm not saying he's trying to undermine an understanding of the Puranas. That's not the point. But he didn't quite essentialize these complex issues in simplistic terms, though he can do that too.
Our philosophy is that life came through the creative process and not through a chance theory. Really. That's our fundamental philosophy, and that should be propagated always. And Prabhupada was always smashing the scientists. I mean, they're good scientists also there, but, you know, I mean, doctors and so are scientists, but they're in a different department. They're doing good, really, you know. But we're talking about paleontologists and all the other branches, biologists, microbiologists, astronomers and so forth, really, you know. They're still heading towards this godless chance origin of things, and you know, we're trying to put a stop to that or clarify that misconception so the innocent students don't get confused. But your points are well taken. I mean, your points are well taken, but our preaching has to go on, and we have to clear some misconceptions.